This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Right. Good morning to you. Welcome in on Snowmageddon Eve, I guess we should call that. Everybody's ready. We're in storm mode and snow mode, and we're going to get the expert on this, Dave Murray, in the next hour, and he'll kind of explain it all. I don't know. Some people to our south and southeast, the southern part of our listening area down around Fredericktown, Bonterre, all that, got some snow overnight. Not a great deal, I don't think. And over in southern Illinois, for sure. But we are going to get the bulk of it tomorrow. Whatever's coming, we'll get all the details from our friend Dave Murray before long. So be sure and stick around for that. I promise you we will get to that. We got lots to get to still. Michael Butler, who's running for mayor in the city, we're going to get him on. Maybe he's got a thing or two to say about getting snow off the roads since he wants to be the next mayor of the city. We got Ryan Wiggins in a little later. 2A Tuesday coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Our friend Todd Pyro, I'm telling you, we got lots and lots of stuff to get to, and including, not the least of which, earlier this morning, I kind of went sideways on the Boy Scouts, who are no longer the Boy Scouts. They're the Generalist Scouts of America. They've changed the name. And we had a caller call in with a question about that. So I'm going to answer that for you here coming up in just a couple of minutes. But Carl, first, let's get to our top stories here, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to call out the cowards who think they can prey on women and get away with it. Today, I'm going scorched earth.
That was a Nancy Mace, and boy, if you missed that, did she go scorched earth? She apparently gets some sort of legal protection for anything she says on the floor of the House, and she called out four men, including her ex-husband, and accused them of rape and much worse.
Saturday at 12, we want them all back. I'm speaking for myself. Israel can override it, but from myself, if they're not here, all hell is going to break out.
Donald Trump giving his opinion on this ceasefire in the Middle East between Hamas and Israel. He's like, listen, if they don't bring us the rest of the hostages by Saturday at noon, I say release the hellfire.
Elon Musk, where are you? Bring your ass over here so you can see who's here.
Crazy Maxine Waters. Mad Max is back. She was out there protesting with a bunch of other loony lefties, and they're all angry at the man who's not receiving a salary to try to save you and me money. All right, you know what that means. We're giving away some Doobie Brothers tickets. One of the classics there. This show is coming up at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on September 4th. It was just announced yesterday. We're going to give away tickets every day this week, starting with today. 314-241-9797 is the phone number. 314-241-9797. Kim St. Ange, what number caller should we pick this morning? What do you think?
How about the ninth caller?
Okay, caller number 9 to 314-241-9797 gets a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald, and it should be good. You just use my argument. We got to go see them now because who knows how much longer they'll be around, right? I mean, I think that's great. The tickets are go on sale. Let me see here. Do I have that information on here, Carl?
I believe Friday.
Friday. I think they go on sale Friday, and we'll have an opportunity to give tickets away every day this week. So, best of luck to you. All right, back to the genderless Scouts of America. The Boy Scouts leader, the guy that is now in charge of the Boy Scouts, they announced, I think in 2019, that they were going to start allowing girls into the Scouts. Yesterday, for some reason, it took 6 years. I knew this was going to happen. Yesterday, they announced that officially they're dropping the name boy. So it's no longer BSA. It's just Scouts. And I don't know why they waited so long, but they made that announcement this week. And I kind of went sideways on them earlier because, you know, my son's an Eagle Scout. I've been involved in scouting since he was little. I remember going to the very first meeting where a couple of fantastic Cub Scout leaders stood up and talked to us as parents about the importance of scouting and what it meant to developing the character and the values of young men. And they showed us by taking a yardstick and snapping off pieces of it. Just how short a period of time we had to have that influence on our young men, right? And I went to the campouts and I got my freeze out badge along with my son. When you camp out and it's below freezing, technically it was a sleet storm that we camped out in to get our freeze out badge. We went through all of that, and then I watched him get his Eagle. He's an Eagle Scout, and that was a lot of work, right? And a lot of people helped along the way. A lot of men that he could look up to and learn from how to be a man. And, of course, we've watched during the Biden administration them try to strip that away from us because they want to emasculate men. That's what they want to do. So the Boy Scouts have gone woke, and there's a lot of reasons for it. This is the message we received earlier on the listener line, which, you can go to the app.
I wanted to know how the Boy Scouts can raid the Girl Scouts if it's not right for boys to participate in girl sports. Isn't that the same? I don't understand. Thank you.
Yeah, what's her name, Carl?
Miss P.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the message this morning. So I did make reference to the fact that the Boy Scouts were raiding the Girl Scouts. All they did was allow girls to participate in the Boy Scouts. And now they've changed the name to just Scouts. So the one thing young boys had were, like, I would go to these campouts, Kim, and it's just a boy fest is what it is, right? They're all out at 5, 6 in the morning. As soon as the crack of dawn happened, they're all awake. They're out there rekindling the fires, sticking sticks in the fires, and you got to watch them because they're running around with sticks that have fire on the end of them. And I mean, they're just being boys at that age, right? That whole dynamic changes when you introduce girls into it. Mm-hmm. It just does.
It does.
Like, they can't have that time to themselves just to be boys. Everything has to change because suddenly you've got other considerations about bathrooms and tents. And I mean, why did they have to do that? I'm upset about it. I think it's a shame. They raided the Girl Scouts because their membership kept dropping. They didn't market the Scouts well. Kids started getting involved in other activities, and fewer boys were joining Boy Scouts. So to keep the organization alive, they just decided they'd throw the boys out and let anybody join, which, in my opinion, has ruined the organization. Now, Girl Scouts is still out there. There's a group called, I think it's Trail Life or something, that's out there that brings more of a Christian point of view to a scouting-type environment. That's still available, but Boy Scouts are no more. It's no longer the BSA, the Boy Scouts of America. It's the gender-neutral Scouts of America, and what an absolute shame.
I think people should seriously boycott, not have their kids involved in that. There's an organization, I think, called Heritage Girls,
yes,
and it's
there is.
Christian
yes.
based, so it's a good foundation. And not just the fact that they're changing the name and have been allowing girls to be with the boys, it's just all messed up. But my understanding is when I went to a pro-life conference, they talked about how Girl Scouts was actually helping fund donating to Planned Parenthood. So they don't even support, if you're a Christian, if you're a conservative and you're pro-life like I am, like you are, Mark, they don't even support, they don't share our values. So why support them?
Yeah. Well, Girl Scouts failed. It's girls too, in my opinion, because they didn't even make it possible for them to learn some of the skills the boys were learning. I'm not saying there aren't girls that couldn't accomplish all the badges that the boys did. That's not the point of it. Having to erase those lines is all about tearing down the men, in my opinion, what used to be a great organization. Those are my two cents. That's what I meant about it. All right, quick break. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First, joins us right after the break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are not going to sit around while you go ahead and desecrate our Constitution, or you look at the laws that have been passed into law and say, never mind, we'll just ignore that. Instead, we are going to be in your face, we are going to be on your asses, and we are going to make sure, you understand what democracy looks like. This ain't it.
I don't think our ears are the only ones that are bleeding right now. I bet the ears of Todd Pyro are also doing the same thing, host of Fox and Friends First.
I got to say, every time you play that, it puts me in a really good mood because I think of my kids. And it, like, I'm serious. I'm not trying to like earn points with the women, although I know I am. no, it puts me in a good mood because I think how happy my girls get when that song comes on. So.
Nice. I thought you were talking about the soundbite we played there for just a minute.
That is what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Who was that? Which
Jasmine?
Was that?
That was Jasmine Crockett. He was talking about the music, I think.
No, we have a doll of Jasmine Crockett in our house that we play, and the girls love it. I'm sorry. No. Oh no, that's incorrect. That's not correct. But I love. maybe that's a marketing thing. Maybe you guys should create a Jasmine Crockett doll, and people can do what they will with it.
Woo, I can see the marketing department turning down that idea, but I'll bring it up, Todd. Can I credit you?
Interesting. Please do.
Oh man, hey, you know, you and I have not had a chance to talk since the Super Bowl. Were you rooting for the Eagles or were you rooting for the Chiefs?
I was rooting for Al Qaeda before I would root for the Eagles.
The Eagles, yeah, I bet.
But, you know, look, I said going in, if you watch the thing I said on Friday before we went off air, I said, my heart's with the Chiefs, but my head tells me Eagles. I just think the Eagles are a better team, and I was right. I hate being right in that regard. I understand the decision the Giants made to let Saquon go. I also understand optics, and this looks horrible. That said, I'm not excusing the decision. But Saquon didn't win this game for the Eagles. Now, admittedly, he got them there with some amazing plays and an unbelievable season. But you take Saquon out of this game, the Eagles still win the Super Bowl.
It's true. And you know, the Chiefs did a decent job limiting his run. But man alive, Jalen Hurts just tore him up with one-on-one coverage. And It was just, it was so lopsided. You know, I left the Super Bowl party I went to at halftime because everybody there was a Chiefs fan and they were about to ram their heads through a wall by halftime.
Can you believe it was the highest rated Super Bowl ever? Like, I know it was on Fox, but even yesterday I'm just like, ooh, these numbers are not going to be good.
Yeah.
And then magically the numbers were good.
Maybe they were, they took a dip during halftime because Kendrick Lamar just was awful.
I avoided the entire Super Bowl discussion with my parents yesterday, but implicit within that, I also avoided explaining Kendrick Lamar to my parents, which I think is a huge win on my part. I'm glad I was able to avoid that. But there are a lot of uncomfortable conversations happening since the halftime show with parents all across the country.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Did somebody tell me that Serena Williams, was she up dancing during part of this?
Yes.
Did not see that live because I had moved to the kitchen to get another round of food and drink at that
She's
point.
She's one of Drake's exes, so that was a slam.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. So you learn everything there, huh?
The Serena battle Williams, within the battle.
Serena Williams dated Drake?
A long time
ago.
Oh, my gosh. See, I don't keep up with any of this pop culture stuff.
Do you keep up with the Kardashians?
Never. No, absolutely not.
So there you go. There's a show about that. Try to help you out.
I'm sure you and the kids do, right?
We're doing Jasmine Crockett, the Kardashians, the battle between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. There almost isn't time for Rapunzel.
That's funny. I don't. You're at that age, and it's a great time, Todd. Enjoy it while it lasts.
I love it.
You watch the same movies 50 times.
Eagles. Oh, 80 times. Can you ask me something non-Eagle so we can leave this on a high note? Because so far you've just depressed me and reminded me of the hell of Sad Sunday.
So you want to talk about Guantanamo Bay, something cheerier than that, or what?
Honestly, if it was a choice between the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and me spending a week at Guantanamo Bay, I was like, where's the flight to Cuba?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've watched Tom Homan this morning, I believe, on Fox, pointing out that, you know, he's trying to fix a system that Joe Biden could have fixed at any time. But he said it's just more and more obvious to him that all along it was just intentional. I mean, he intentionally imposed this.
Because Joe Biden also could have not broken the system. He could have just maintained what Trump did, and we wouldn't be anywhere near in the situation that we are. Can you make this up to me? Because this call upset me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sure.
Tell your audience to DVR the show. if you're listening, audience, please DVR the show. I'm with you in Kansas City Chiefs spirit. I'm there with you. Do it for me. Heck, I'm there with the St. Louis Rams, even though they haven't been in your city in a couple of years now. I am here for you.
Now
you are the show. We can be kindred spirits.
Now you're trying to crush our spirit by having to bring up the word St. Louis and Rams again.
Hey, look, if you want to take the Giants for a couple of years, take them off my hands. You could have them for about the next decade.
Maybe you need Eli Manning back on there as the kicker, at least.
I'll take him to it. He can play quarterbacks. It's not like the person we had was good. You see Eli Manning in one of those videos throw like an 80-yard bomb right down the seam?
Yeah.
Like, let's bring him back. It's not like DJ was crushing it.
They've still got it. I felt at one point that Tom Brady could have gone out and done a better job than Mahomes on crawled out of the booth and whoo. Maybe that is
why are you attacking your audience? Why are you driving the knife deeper into your listeners? This is tough.
Todd, have a great week, my friend. We'll do better next week.
Yeah. I love it. Have a great one,
guys.
All
right, see ya. All right, thank you. Sorry to depress the network news star there. I think I've set him off this morning. All right, coming up, we'll talk 2A Tuesday with Aiden Johnson from Gun Owners. We'll be right back.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, welcome back. We want to welcome in Aiden Johnson from Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. And Aiden, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Good to have you on again. You know, I saw this news, and I meant to mention it earlier in the show. Things just get so busy as we continue through the show this morning. But a federal judge in Illinois made a groundbreaking decision yesterday. A White County, Illinois judge found the state's firearm owner's ID card is unconstitutional when it comes to someone possessing a firearm in their home. He said a woman got arrested for having a single shot 22 in her home without owning without asking the state of Illinois' permission first. And this judge has finally come out and said, listen, this directly violates Bruin and the Second Amendment. You're allowed to have a firearm in your home.
That's absolutely outstanding, and thank goodness for that judge understanding and respecting the Second Amendment rights of that woman. I mean, the state has no right to tell you that you can't own a 22 single shot without the government's permission. We always have the right denied, and if you have to go out and fill out paperwork and ask the government's permission and wait for the background check in order to even own a gun, that is absolutely an infringement on your Second Amendment rights.
Oh, so, yeah, any gun.
Glad to see that law struck down.
Yeah, any gun. The court went on to say in his ruling, the court finds that any fee associated with exercising the core fundamental constitutional right of armed self-defense within the confines of one's home violates the Second Amendment. And the FOID card, he said, I don't see any way that you could reasonably construe this that would pursue its validity under the Second Amendment and the court's decision on Bruin.
I think that's just beautifully written and honestly something we should all be proud of. There's no reason that you should need the government's permission, whether it's inside your home or to carry out in public. It's just... the Supreme Court in the Heller decision kind of limited its decision to the home, and then Bruin has started to expand the right to carry outside of the home and really recognize that. But the Founding Fathers never intended anything like a firearm owner ID card or a license to carry, in my opinion.
Well, gunowners.org, you guys do great work across the country supporting challenges like this. I don't know if you guys were involved in this one or not, but, you know, it's important when you look at this. If the people in the sound of my voice that live just across the river, which if it wasn't for this wall over here, I could see it. The people that live just across the river here have to go beg the state of Illinois and pay a fee in order for the right to then go to a federally licensed firearm dealer and buy a gun where they'll undergo a second background check by the federal government before they can leave the store with a gun. Technically, they're supposed to have the FOID card before they can even buy a gun in the state of Illinois. How that has stood for as long as it has baffles me.
Well, it's not standing anymore, and I think that's absolutely outstanding. This was not a GOA case, but I mean, God bless all of the defendants, the criminal defendants who've been charged by the government with these unconstitutional laws, who are out there challenging them, and also to all the judges who are there listening to the pleas of these people who are having their rights infringed upon and actually giving us these pro-Second Amendment rulings. I mean, this poor woman, I wonder what the penalty is for having a firearm owner ID or a gun without a FOID card in Illinois. It's not pretty, and thank goodness for this judge.
Yeah, that's true. Her name is Vivian Brown, by the way. That was a 2017 case. She's been dealing with this issue since 2017. And this is kind of how it went down for background from people. She was separated from her husband. He knew she possessed this single-shot 22 in her home. Her husband filed a complaint against her, alleging that she fired the rifle inside of the home. Police went in and investigated, determined the rifle had not been fired, but the state's attorney charged her anyway with possessing a firearm without an FOID card. And she's been dragged through the criminal court system in the state of Illinois now since 2017. 8 years this has upended her life.
Can you imagine that the audacity that the law enforcement have to spend their time going after a woman who never fired the gun in the incident that was claimed, who just owned a very small caliber single shot gun without this government license. And that's what they spent the last 8 years spending their money on, prosecuting, arresting, and mistreating in the courts. And we had to pay a judge to write this opinion saying, hey, you have a right to keep and bear arms in your own home. You can't do that. I mean, this is common sense if you just read the Second Amendment. And here we spend all of this time just harassing this poor woman.
Very true.
Aiden, another article I found on gunowners.org that I think is interesting is talking about how the ATF is using facial recognition technology to identify gun owners. Do you know much about what's going on with that? Because obviously there's talks of the ATF being dismantled, and this just maybe would further be an argument for why that's necessary.
I completely agree. I think this is just fuel to that fire. Gun Owners of America discovered that the ATF has been using facial recognition technology to track down gun owners. And there was a few reports that they had begun doing this. They'd run about 500 searches a few years ago. And the Government Accountability Office said they didn't have proper accountability mechanisms, and they hadn't trained their staff to use it appropriately. And so they shut down the program. But then come last year, there's actually more evidence they resurrected the program during the Biden administration without any additional training. So this is something that hopefully Congress will be looking into. But we also know that the New Jersey Police Department has connected facial recognition technology with their gun registration database in order to look at someone's face and identify whether or not they have a gun. So this could be a huge threat to the Second Amendment if we let the ATF continue, and I think we've got to stop it.
Yeah, it's a good point. We're talking to Aiden Johnston from Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. Aiden, it happened a couple days ago on the 7th, but I saw where the president signed yet another executive order, this one dealing with the Second Amendment, right?
Yes, this is huge. This is President Trump fulfilling his campaign promise. He said that he would rip up all those Biden disasters on the Second Amendment. And what he's done is order Pam Bondi, the attorney general, to take 30 days and come up with a report of every single infringement at every level of government that President Biden initiated and come up with a plan to reverse it. And so that's a very quick timeline for the Trump administration. He's got a lot on his plate. So 30 days is a huge priority for Pam Bondi, who just took office like 5 days ago. And Gun Owners of America is going to be right there in Washington trying to help these guys accomplish this mission for the president and really repeal these infringements that have, I mean, the Biden administration weaponized the whole government against us. And so here we get to fight back.
Yeah, it's true. Aiden, great having you on again. We always appreciate it. And remind people where you went to high school.
I went to St. Louis Priory High School. I'm a proud St. Louis native, and I hope everyone's doing well out there.
Absolutely. I just want to remind people you're a hometown boy there working for gun owners. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have a good one.
Yeah, all right. See you later. He's of course, not living here anymore, but he did grow up in St. Louis and go to school here.
That's cool.
Good kid.
Well, he's at least dodging the snow.
I call him a kid, but you know, as I get older, I call a lot of people kids.
Am I a kid? Sorry.
No, you're not a kid.
What's the cutoff?
I don't know. What, 30 maybe? I don't know how old Aiden is.
Let's call him back and ask him.
I'm just kidding. I said to my wife, we were watching some kids walk by the other day, and I'm like, those kids look like they were going into a restaurant, right, where they serve drinks. And I'm like, those kids don't look old enough. They look like they're in high school. And she's like, I don't know about you, but I'm having a harder and harder time telling how old kids are when I look at them.
I look at some of these college football players or even guys in the NFL. Like there was a guy who was, I think, an Eagles player, and he was celebrating his 22nd birthday on Super Bowl Sunday. And my family and I, my sisters and I in particular, are looking at this guy like, that guy's 22? I'm just dumbfounded. These grown men, I'm like, oh my gosh, you look like you could be my older brother.
He's the one that got the interception, right? Ran
back
for
a touchdown. I don't remember.
Yeah, on his birthday.
He scored.
He's a rookie, and he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl on a pick six on his birthday.
What a memorable year he will have.
No kidding. That was pretty amazing. All right, what are we going to talk about in Kim and a Whim?
Well, we all know some of the dumb stories that mainstream media has done, but the Associated Press really, really wants you to know that 11 NFL teams have never hired a black head coach. Well, they went out to interview the football players to say, you know, do you find that disappointing? Just guess what percentage of the players found that disappointing. I'll tell you the answer coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
I'm sure many of you by this point have noticed and are very, very concerned that very few NFL teams have ever hired a black head coach. Did you know that, Mark?
Well, I mean, I was aware of the effort several years ago to include more black candidates in head coaching positions. I think the NFL made that a requirement.
Mm-hmm. The Rooney Rule.
They did, didn't they? Yeah, they did. I thought so. Uh-huh.
Yep, absolutely. That was years ago. Well, the Associated Press did an entire article about this, the headline being 11 NFL teams have never had a black head coach. Players find that disappointing. Listen to this video that they put out about this.
Out of 32 NFL franchises in the league, 11 of them have never had a full-time head coach who is black. Research by the Associated Press looking at the past 25 years shows 18% of new full-time head coaches are black. Meanwhile, more than 50% of the league's players are. AP reporters spoke with more than 65 black players to get their thoughts on the topic. 36% said they were discouraged or disappointed by the numbers. The Rooney Rule requires teams to interview minority candidates. Just one of six openings this offseason went to a black head coach. As President Donald Trump cuts government DEI programs and some companies roll back such initiatives, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the league will continue its efforts.
And there you have it. So they went out and interviewed more than 65 black players in the NFL to get their thoughts about why there are so few black head coaches in the league. 36% discouraged. 38% of them said that they would like to be a head coach. 92% said that they were encouraged by the number of black coaches hired last offseason.
Okay.
So she's saying more than 50% of the actual players are black, which makes sense to me.
Well, it's probably more than that, isn't it?
I don't think it's actually as high. My husband and I were looking into this. If you look at the NBA, it's like 70%? I think it was like 72% of the players in the NBA are black, and it was closer to like 50-something, I think, for the NFL. It wasn't as high as you might think, but still, it's vast majority of them, right? More than 50%.
Right.
Why are we not screaming about why there are not enough Asians and Latinos and white people playing in the NFL and the NBA? Like, why is it only that we have to make sure that there's an equal number of black players, but if it's skewed the other way, how dare we bring that up?
Oh, I agree. Why? I mean, because here's the thing. Because it's not it is the greatest example of a meritocracy in the world. Sports is the great equalizer. Whatever percentage of representation you see of any race, you can't apply your general standards of quotas to an athletic situation. It just doesn't work. If you want the best and the fastest player, that's got to be the standard. And it doesn't matter if you're green. Why does that matter? But they do want to apply that to coaching, mm-hmm. right? And I don't understand that. You want the best person to be the coach. If you try to shoehorn in somebody just because they're 7 feet tall or 3 feet tall or they're black or white or purple, you're not going to end up with the same quality pool of candidates. You're just not.
Mm-hmm.
This seems so obvious, but they've got to be politically correct.
If the NFL is continuing to do this, all it will really take is for them to have a DEI hire, a person who's really not qualified for it. I don't care if they're white, black, like you said, purple, green, whatever.
Yes.
Put them in that position. You take a team that has done historically well, and they just start tanking. And the players, they don't want to stay for another they'll leave. And that is, I think, what it would take, is you realize that one bad coach can really sink a team if you are just strictly going to go off it. The hiring because of the color of their skin. It's just silly. There's a double standard. It's for some reason that's in effect for the coaches, but not for the players.
But there are some not great coaches out there, and I think you will see an increase in the coming years. I mean, look at the young man who's the head coach at the University of Notre Dame.
He's like my age.
I know. He was playing.
Younger.
He was playing. He was playing in the NFL. As recently as what, 2005 or 6 or something like that, and now he is he was rumored to be a candidate for the Chicago Bears, I think, and a couple of other teams from the pros were looking at him as a potential coach. Clearly an offensive genius, clearly has the skill set to. That's a tough job.
Mm-hmm.
Being a head coach of a college or an NFL team is a tough job.
Especially if you have a family and you're trying to make time for them. I mean, talking to Mike Martz and how little you would probably be able to see your loved ones.
But it has to be based on your ability, not the color of your skin. It may make you feel better, whoever that reporter was, to look at the NFL and say, hey, the exact same percentage of coaches are in the NFL as the players on the field. Two very different jobs. One, your skin color shouldn't matter in either one of them. It should be merit. But you only want to apply that on half of it, or there would be more midgets playing in the NFL. And you don't see that very often either, do you? Very strange situation developing there. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Michael Butler. We're going to talk to Dave Murray and Ryan Wiggins. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.